I wonder if you've ever went to a place expecting someone to be there and they weren't there. Many of us have been in that place at one point in time or another. We were supposed to meet someone and they were supposed to be there and then they weren't there. And we wondered how come they didn't show. Now, some of us in this room, if we were meeting someone in that way, it was like, well, they're running usually pretty late, and so it's not that big of a deal, you know? They just kind of run late all the time. And then others were, sometimes we get frustrated. How come we were supposed to be here at this certain time? Where were they? Sometimes, though, when somebody doesn't show up at something, some of us start getting a little nervous about those things. And so we immediately start texting or we start calling. I've thought about this a number of times. What did we do a number of years ago when we didn't have all the texting and cell phone calling? We just, well, they didn't show up. And so they'll come sometime or we'll find out about something later. But there leaves a part in you where you're like, what happened? Peter and the disciples and the two ladies felt this on that Easter Sunday. They went expecting to find Jesus in the tomb. They were like, well, he's going to be there. And we're going to go put spices on him. And this is going to be just like it's supposed to be. And he wasn't there. They went in Matthew chapter 28, if you happen to look there, they go and it's like the stone is rolled away. What has taken place? He's not here. Just like that when you show up at somewhere and somebody's not there, you're like, where'd they go? How come they're not here? When they arrived at the tomb, I believe this is what happened. Hope was lost. Hope was decimated. Hope was gone. Hope had vanished. Hope had disappeared. Hope was gone because where's Jesus? It's interesting. There are a couple of interesting words from Matthew chapter 28, verse 8, when the ladies were there and the angel came to the ladies. Here's what it says. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Kind of interesting, two different words there. They departed with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Have you ever lost hope in someone? Maybe you started out as being a friend or maybe more than friends, and quite honestly, life just got complicated. And because of that, you lost hope in a friend, hope in someone, and they let you down. And they didn't come through, and you're like, this can happen. Maybe this has happened to you with Jesus. Maybe you kind of feel, even today, like, where did he go? he was supposed to be here. This is where he's supposed to be, in the tomb, and he's gone. What took place? Maybe it was a church that you attended. And you thought, there's just not something right here. And so you just lost hope in Jesus because of the church. Maybe you just thought, well, Jesus and what he cracked up to be, and you wonder about that. If you have lost hope in Jesus, please know that he has not lost hope in you. In God's word, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You may be saying, well, here goes a preacher telling me of all the good things of Jesus and him simply not being there, and my hope is gone. But has Jesus really left? I beg to tell you that he hasn't left. I think sometimes we leave him, and maybe you've left him, but the word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And maybe you just need to hear that today. Maybe that's you. You just need to know the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is here today. Some of you today are here and you're looking for hope. Actually, I'm going to say this, and I'll put myself in the same characteristic. I'm looking for hope, and you're looking for hope. Every one of us here looks for hope. There's not a one of us in here that are like, no, I don't think I want to hope anything. I just want things to go on as they have been because, you know, things are just pretty good. No, we all want hope. We want hope of something better. Some of us have some rotten recent days and we long for this hope. Let me tell you, hope is here today. It's not a special formula. It's not like there's a little hocus pocus going on. It's about Jesus and a relationship with him that when he indwells within us, we have that hope. It isn't a special prize. You're not going to get a special prize on your way out and say, oh, I've got hope. No, it's Jesus. There is someone who is this hope. And I hope that you understand that there is hope in Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to be sharing just a couple of verses here today from what Peter says in verses 3 and 4. If you happen to bring a Bible, you can find it in your Bible, or there is a Bible in front of you in the chair and a rack in front of you possibly, and it's on page 1014. Two short verses, but has a lot in it. Here's what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I want you to see a couple things from this passage this morning. There's going to be some notes on the screen. If you want to write them down, feel free to do that. But I want you to hear some of these words. First, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Now, I'm assuming many of you know this. You've heard this before, but let me repeat it to you. And if you've never heard it before, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. This verse says that we can be born again. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus who in John chapter 3 came to Jesus and said, well, what do I need to do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. He's like, I can't get back into my mother's womb. How can I be born again? It's talking about spiritually, because we are all dead in our trespasses and we have to be born again into Christ. Being born again means that we are spiritually alive. Are you born again? Do you have a time where you have a rebirth in your life, where you've said yes to Jesus and you're born again? The second thing is that Jesus rose again. It says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I like what it says, living there. It's not something that's dead. It's something that's active. It's something that's going. Given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. He is not dead. He is living. And that's why we're here today, to celebrate the resurrection. To celebrate the resurrection on this Sunday. The great news is this. You know this, but I'll just let you know. You just don't have to celebrate the resurrection today. Oh, it's just Easter Sunday. We can only talk about this on Easter Sunday. No, it's for us every day, every hour, every minute. We can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The third thing is this. He ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. That inheritance is imperishable. It's undefiled and unfading. And I think you should be understanding how wonderful that his ascension is. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. I wish I was there on the day that Jesus went into heaven. Wouldn't that have been a fun thing to watch? I mean, him going up into the clouds and him being here, and then all of a sudden, how did it happen? did he just kind of fade behind the clouds? In our day and age, you know, you think, oh, they're like a rocket booster or something, and so we can maybe understand that a little better, but what happened exactly? Did he just kind of float up? Was it quick? Was it slow? I don't know, but he rose up and the disciples watched him. And if you remember in Acts, they're like, and then I think it was an angel that came along and said, what are you guys doing staring up in the sky? And they're, well, I think the disciples are like, well, we're not sure what to do now. What do we do now? Hey, you need to go back to Jerusalem. And so I want you to know that Jesus went to heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. If you don't hear anything else, know this. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, interceding for me. Those quiet prayers that you have that you don't think anybody else cares about, Jesus cares. And he knows those cares that you have and those prayers that you have. Jesus knows those, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Some of you have some prayers that you've been asking for some time, and you're like, well, if he's sitting there, how come he doesn't whisper over to God? What's the deal here? How come he hasn't answered yet? I'm not sure of that exactly, but I do know this. Jesus cares, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Number four, Jesus is coming back. In this area, we have a strong military presence. And I am thankful for the men and women who currently serve right now and who have served in our country to allow the freedoms that I enjoy and that we get to enjoy. We have many that are serving right now overseas as well as stateside. My statistics are about a year old, so I might be off 100,000 or two or 1,000, not 100,000, but I might be off by 1,000 or two. But here's what I came up with. We have 2.1 million current active military members. That's quite a large number for me. Of those 2.1 million, around 200,000 of those are deployed currently. 200,000 is a lot of people in my mind. 200,000 people deployed away from their families, if they have families. If they're single, then they're still away from their families because they came from somewhere, of course. And in 177 countries, try to think about that for a moment. We have 200,000 Americans that are deployed somewhere right now in 177 countries. Some of those countries are very high alert, and other ones of those countries are probably not. It's amazing to me. The reason I bring this up is because I believe that most of us in this area have been affected somewhere along the way of someone who's been deployed. Somebody who's been gone for whether it be a month or whether it be 6 months or 9 months. We have a family in our congregation that is planning to go to Japan here for about 4 years. Think of that, being gone to Japan for 4 years. But here's what I think of when I think of these deployments. I think of the, not the tragic ones, because there's some tragic ones that happens where families, they're bringing back is in a casket. That's relatively small, but that does happen. And those people mourn. And if that's one of you, you mourn when that happens. But think back to those days of maybe when you were affected by a deployment. And you waited for your man. You waited for your son. You looked to mom, whoever it was deployed. I want you to think about that. When that day came, you knew that day was coming. And you had it marked on the calendar. And there may have been times that you counted down and you're like, we know dad's coming home. We know mom's coming home. We know son's coming home, such and such day. And we can't wait for that day. And then when that day comes, you don't sleep well the night before because you're just excited. And you're just ready. And with the military, sometimes it can be kind of difficult because, well, you're just ready for them to get off the plane. You're ready to go meet them, give them a hug, and say, welcome home. But they have to go through those certain paces. And you just kind of have to sit back and you have to wait. And you have to twiddle your thumbs. And if you have kids, it can be even more barren because they're like, I just want to go see dad. Or I want to go see mom or whoever it is. And then finally you get to be with that person. What happens on those moments? In those moments, usually there's a big old bear hug that happens. And sometimes it's those moments where you just don't want to let go. And sometimes there's tears that just come and they just flow because you're just so happy. And then sometimes there's just laughter and you just start laughing. Sometimes you're not really sure what to do and you just kind of sit back. The reason why I shared that story with you is that there is a man by the name of Jesus who came to our world. And he has been in heaven a long time, and I'm not sure when he's going to come back, but I know he's coming back. The song we sang, until he returns or calls me home. I don't know what he'll do. I don't know if he's coming back this week. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? I know there's things you'd like to see done, but trust me, heaven's a wonderful place. Or he may call you home. I'm not sure, but when he does, I hope you're ready for the longing embrace of Jesus. What a wonderful embrace that will be. And let me tell you, he has been waiting and he is looking for that day. Jesus went to the cross, he defeated death, and he rose again for you and for I to provide the hope of eternal life. And I hope that sounds awesome to you. That is a wonderful thing. But you may say, well, eternal life, that's a long ways away. Death is a long ways away from me. I was talking to a young dad recently, and his daughter is 9 years of age, and we were talking about dating and stuff, and that's a long time away. And I said, hey, it's about that long, and that's when she'll be dating. We got to be ready for that. And you may think, I have a long time to wait. You don't. Jesus is coming soon. I wonder if you're hopeless in your life. You're hopeless in your job, in your physical ailments. Maybe you're hopeless in your frustrations or in your marriage or in your home or in your neighborhood. Or maybe you're hopeless in your country. Jesus provides hope. He provides hope by giving you peace deep within your soul. And some of you might say, well, I put my hope in other things. Here are some things that we can put our hopes in. We can put our hopes in the weekend to come. Oh, when the weekend comes. Maybe you put your hopes in a computer screen or the latest update. Maybe you put your hopes in Bud Light, or maybe you put your hopes in the pool. Maybe in your dad or your grandma, or some of us put hopes in marijuana because that's going to help us some which way. Maybe you put your hope in your house or in your success, or maybe your hope is in your new Easter dress. And you think, wow, I look good today. I'm in my Easter outfit and this is wonderful. Put your hope in Jesus. Here's what the scripture says. I'll read it again. Blessed be the Father, blessed be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I wonder if you've received your inheritance yet. Your inheritance, maybe you have this. When someone passes on, sometimes they leave an inheritance of money. Those are good days, aren't they? Well, kind of, because then you're like, what am I going to do with this money? Now, none of us have wrestled through that. Maybe you've never received an inheritance. But man, when your inheritance comes, what happens? The check arrives in the mail and suddenly your house is paid off, your vehicle is paid off, those outstanding debts that have been burdening you and just causing you great grief are just lifted. Because you have this inheritance. Jesus came to give us each an inheritance that beats any financial purchase, that beats any financial gift. It's an inheritance that far outweighs them all. Here's what the scripture says. It says this, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. There's another translation that says in this way, an inheritance that never spoil, perishes, or fades. Here's another translation. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Or another one says, never decayed or be ruined or disappeared. I don't know how you want to say it, but there's an inheritance for you. I have a picture of a house here. Some of you have seen houses like this. Somebody used to live in that house. I don't know who lived in that house, but I just want you to think about people that lived in that house and what they did and the meals that they made in there and the laughter that was enjoyed and the camaraderie was there and the coldness that was felt on cold, cold winter days and the warmth when in the hot summer days and you open the door. You've seen these pictures. That's not the heavenly home that we have. That's not the heavenly home that we have at all. It's not abandoned. It's one that Jesus has been making for us. And John chapter 14 says, and if I go, I'm going to come back and get you. I prepare a place for you. There's an organization called Heavenly Homes. I have a picture of one of their homes. That's a heavenly home. Do you like that home? That's a heavenly home. Now, I don't know what you have in mind. Actually, I encourage you over your lunchtime today, I encourage you to talk about, what is our heavenly home going to look like? Have you thought about that? Have you reasoned? Have you wondered, wow, what is the heavenly home going to look like? Is it going to look like that? Well, I hope not, because I don't like pink, and so I don't want pink flowers over here. I hope I can have some blues. I kind of like blues over here. I'd like it to be bigger. Can I have it bigger? I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but I do know this. If you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have an inheritance that is not going to be like the abandoned old building, but it's going to be something grand. You may have a beater of a car. You may have clothes that aren't the newest. You may have a lawn mower that rattles, and you might have a house that has a drippy faucet. You might have a rake that has tape on the handle, and you might have a tent that has been patched 17 times. All this is going to pass away, but your inheritance in heaven is not. Some would say, well, heaven's not a big deal. It is. The Bible says that heaven is what awaits those who believe and live a life for the Lord. Some might state it this way. It's only a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the dark. I know that Jesus came to be the light of the world. Thus, people in a relationship with the Lord are not afraid of the dark, but are trusting and believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and in that light. Jesus said that he will take us to be there. He hadn't come back yet, but hold on to the hope. And if you are hopeless and at the end of your rope, trust in Jesus today. Hope is here today. It's not found in a church, but it can be found in a church. Why? Because a church is a building that is a place that is set aside for God. This is a building that's set aside for God. You can find God at McDonald's. Trust me, you can find God at McDonald's. I led a guy to the Lord, and he prayed the sinner's prayer at McDonald's. But their prime concern is not for you to find Jesus at McDonald's. They want to sell you a Big Mac. They want to sell you a quarter pounder. They want you to sell you their fries, and they have good fries according to me. You can find God at Walmart, but you know what? Their objective is not for you to find God there. They want you to buy their goods. They want you to spend money there. They want you to buy the more expensive thing. You can even find God at the bar, but their concern is to help you forget your problems, not to find God at the bar. That's not what they're doing there. You can find God on the soccer or baseball field, but they are there to provide a sporting opportunity. What is the reason for being in church? To find hope in God. There is hope in the resurrection. Though many wondered at that point in time, where did Jesus go? And he had been telling them that a number of times. They soon found out where Jesus went, that he had risen from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's going to come again. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for him to come again? Have you made a time where you've had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you entered into the new birth, being born again? It starts with a simple prayer. God, I need you. Please forgive my sins. I want to live for you. If you pray this sincerely, God will come in and he will provide hope. If you have never done this, please do. And you will have an inheritance that is far, far greater than anything ever in this world. I know many of you have prayed a sinner's prayer before, but maybe you've just lost hope. And I've been preaching the last 3 weeks about hope. And maybe you're just in a hopeless situation. Let me tell you that Jesus is your hope. And maybe that's what he's just calling out to you today, to say, just be mine. Trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The disciples knew that he was gone from the tomb. But he defeated death, and he appeared to them, and he now appears to you on this Sunday, hope in Jesus today. Lord Jesus, I pray for each man, each woman, each boy, each girl that's here today. Thank you for the hope that we can have in you. I pray for somebody here today that maybe has been wrestling through whether they should have hope in you or not. I pray that they would find hope in you, Jesus, today. That they would repent of their sins and they would say yes to you, and that you would forgive them, and I know that you will. And that you would raise them up to be followers of yours. Lord, do that for somebody here today and provide for them hope today. Lord, I pray for somebody else here today. They just came in and it's Easter Sunday and they're supposed to be in a grand attitude and a grand mode of thinking, but yet they're struggling today, Lord. And I just pray in the quietness of this moment that you would just raise them up and remind them of the hope that is in you. And when all else fails, I pray that they would hold tightly to you and they would know that you are the hope of the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming to our world. Thank you for rising from the dead. We give you praise and honor and glory unto your name. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to me today. In just a couple of moments, the usher is going to come forward and make sure that you fill out your attendance record. And if for you, on the back side of that attendance record, it says that I'm interested in accepting Jesus, my Savior, today. If you've never prayed to receive Christ and you prayed sometime today, please mark that. I'd love to get in touch with you and to give you some tools that can help you bolster yourself in your faith. The praise team is coming back forward now, and they're going to lead us in a number, and so I encourage you to sing along, and after they lead us in singing, and after we sing with them, then you're going to be dismissed. We do have some muffins today, and so feel free to partake of that, and as well, if you have children that are in children's church, make sure you go and get them. As a reminder to you, the older ones are this way, and the younger ones are this way, and thank you for being here today on this Easter Sunday, and I pray God's blessings upon you. And may you just have hope in the resurrection. And may you know Jesus loves you. And he died on the cross and he rose again for you. And he's coming back. He's coming back. May you have a wonderful day. Please lead us, praise team.